Six Democrats have launched presidential campaigns. One of the youngest, regarded by many to be a fresh face for the party, is 49-year-old North Carolina Senator John Edwards. In the first of a series of conversations with Democratic contenders, I spoke with Edwards about the issues that motivate his early campaign. The wealthy former trial lawyer, who's serving his first term in the U.S. Senate, says he wants to create a program called College for Everyone.
We're having an increasing problem of young people who are qualified to go to college not going to college because they can't afford it. So what I'm proposing is, if you take college prep courses in high school, number two, when you get to college, you're willing to work 10 hours a week, then you will be allowed to go tuition-free to either a community college or a state university.
Well, that gets you through 1 year. What about the others?
Well, the key is to get them there the first year so that they see what it is, that what the benefit is of being there, and they start to understand what the financial aid packages are. A lot of these young people are like me. When I was a senior in high school, and nobody, you know, I didn't have anybody in my family who'd been to college, it just looked like a mess. I mean, it was hard to understand what we needed to do. And for young people, high school seniors who come from families that don't have that kind of background, what we want to do is we want to get them to college, let them understand what programs are available to them, and also understand what it is they get from a college education.
What is not going to get done in the country if there's not an Edwards administration?
The first and foremost is the issues that affect people's day-to-day lives. How to run the economy and the federal government in a responsible way that gives real opportunity to everybody. And second, we would make significant progress toward moving away from having two school systems in America. You know, since Brown versus Board of Education, they're not based specifically on race, although they have racial implications. It's the result now, I think, of economic conditions. And it just shouldn't be. I mean, in America, we believe that every child, no matter where they live, who their family is, or what the color of their skin, is entitled to as good an education as the richest parent in America can give to their children. And third, I believe that particularly those of us in leadership positions from the South carry a special responsibility when it comes to issues of civil rights, and not just civil rights, but equal rights.
But you can't see Presidents Lieberman, Gephardt, Dean, or whomever doing those same things?
Well, I think they bring different perspectives. I mean, I come from a different place than certainly than a number of them. Spent my whole life fighting for the same people I grew up with. If I can be judged on the basis of my own ideas, my own vision, I'll be satisfied.
You wanted to cut the government by 10%. We're expanding government now enormously. But you would exempt Homeland Security and Defense.
That's correct.
Which now seems to be, well, what about the other half of the government?
You mean that's a big chunk of the government
right
now? Well, I think that there have been a number of studies that have indicated that just through serious personnel management programs, it would be actually relatively easy to reduce the size of the federal government outside defense and homeland defense.
But then you'd be cutting things that are close to you, education.
But we're talking about two different things. If we're talking about investing money into schools, doing what needs to be done to pay teachers better, doing what needs to be done to provide quality early childhood education, after-school programs, that's different than paying for a bureaucrat who's sitting in Washington working.
How would you pay for your programs when we're in a time of deficits here?
You mentioned one, which is to reduce the size of the federal bureaucracy. But the bigger component for me is I would not allow the president's tax cut to go into effect in 2004. That saves about $1.5 trillion over the next 20 years. In my judgment, it is irresponsible to allow a tax cut for the top 1% of Americans to go into effect.
So how do you stimulate the economy then?
The way you stimulate the economy is by doing things in the short term that really get the economy going. Specifically, I would do a $500 per family refundable energy tax credit. Every family in America is going to have increased energy costs this winter. Second, I would provide significantly more help for the states than the president's proposing. I would do $50 billion. I'd provide a serious short-term bonus depreciation to businesses so they buy things they otherwise may not buy, and I'd extend unemployment insurance.
More weapons inspections or war?
I have believed for a long time that Saddam Hussein is a serious threat. That comes, by the way, largely from my service on the Intelligence Committee, and seeing what he's done in the past, what he's doing now to try to get weapons of mass destruction, and how he would intend to use them. My problem with the president is that he's not made the case, not just to the American people, but to the international community. I mean, we don't want to be, if Saddam is gone, America does not want to be alone, or alone with Britain, responsible for helping reconstruct Iraq. It'll decrease its chances of success. It puts the burden on the American taxpayer, and it just makes us more of a target.
Is the case made when stockpiles of weapons are discovered, or is the case made when there is an established link between Iraq and al-Qaeda?
I see this as the burden being on Saddam, not on us, not on the weapons inspectors. If Saddam is allowed to completely ignore his obligations, it is very difficult for the international community at large to have any credibility going forward. So if the president has evidence of a link between al-Qaeda and Saddam, if they have intelligence information of the existence of weapons of mass destruction, that evidence needs to be heard by the American people, needs to be heard by the international community. It'll make us much more effective in the long run.
If he had such evidence, would he not share it with the Intelligence Committee on which you serve?
Well, that's a good question. I've certainly not seen any compelling evidence of an al-Qaeda connection as a member of the Intelligence Committee. That doesn't mean that that evidence doesn't exist.
You are running for president before you've even run for re-election to the Senate. Seems a bit brash. If you don't mind my saying so.
Well, I think it I don't think it'll seem brash to regular Americans. I think that they are I think people in Washington may think that, because they think the test of everything is how much time have you spent in Washington. I think that regular Americans, and most of America, doesn't think that way.
North Carolina Senator and presidential candidate John Edwards, in the first of my conversations with the Democrats who want to challenge President Bush next year. An extended version of the interview, including more on the College for Everyone program, is at npr.org.